I was very blessed as a young man to have the opportunity to sit at one of the feet of one of the men that has taught me so very much, Brother Franklin Camp. And he made really the Bible to come alive. And hopefully I can bring this lesson that if he were sitting in the audience, he would be proud of this lesson this morning. I know that my Lord will be proud of it because I will be speaking where the Bible is speaking this morning. I want to begin with verse 32 and 33. It is the conclusion, but I want to introduce these thoughts this morning in this way. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, him will my heavenly Father acknowledge. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father which is in heaven. I hope and pray that every one of us that are Christians this morning, that we will remember back to the time when we acknowledged our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On the night or the day that we were baptized into Christ, we made an acknowledgement. And I hope and pray that we are still making that acknowledgement today. We acknowledge one thing, that Jesus is Lord. And Brother Finley led us in a song this morning that so beautifully portrayed those very words and thoughts. But how many of us really understood the depth of the meaning of what we confessed on that day or evening that we were baptized? I remember that evening was in a gospel meeting at the South Haleyville Church of Christ. I would obey the gospel on a Wednesday night and Mary on a Friday night. Both of us are still in high school. And I will remember that on that night I confessed that Jesus would be my Lord. And the word Lord comes from that Greek word protos, and that He would be my master, my ruler, and the controller of my life. I acknowledged that night, and my bride acknowledged it on the Friday night. And we are still trying our very best as we walk in the light, as He's in the light, to still acknowledge Him as being the protos, the master, the ruler, the controller of our lives. And we have been trying to teach our children and to teach our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren what that really means. Jesus would say this at the conclusion of exhorting His followers to have no fear. Look at verse 28. So have no fear. Verse 26, rather. Verse 28, and do not fear. And then Jesus so beautifully gives two illustrations. I loved sitting at the humble feet of Brother Franklin Camp. And I learned so much. But Brother Camp would say, Robert, invite everyone to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, the Master Teacher. And I would encourage all of us to allow him to be our protos, our ruler, our master, and the one that we will acknowledge not only on the night that our day that we were baptized, but all the days of our lives. And when you and I will acknowledge that, and when we will live that, we will be a great shining light to others. I love these verses because Jesus will use the two illustrations. He will use the one about the sparrows. Mary and I had just come back in from a month in Fiji. And I went out to get in the truck to go to the PIBC office very soon after we got back, and there was a little tiny sparrow that had fallen to the ground. And I thought about this lesson, that Jesus would say that, don't you know that you are more valuable than that little sparrow? It was customary in the days of Jesus to go to the market, like it is in many of the Pacific Islands, and they vary throughout the Pacific in size, in culture, in customs, and in foods. And in every location, every country in the Pacific, there will be those items that are very unique to that country. It was very unique to go into the marketplace. And one of the most popular items in the marketplace for food, which was very cheap, was the little sparrows. Can you imagine eating the little sparrows? But usually they were so cheap, a penny for a sparrow, that the vendors at the marketplace would end up throwing in many little sparrows. I'm glad because I'm already getting hungry. And I wouldn't hate to know that I had to sit down to just one little tiny sparrow. But Jesus says, not one of them falls to the ground that your heavenly Father does not know it. Wow, that catches my attention. And today I want you to carry with you that Jesus said that, and you are more valuable than many sparrows. But when just one of them falls, when Mary and I went to Fiji 53 years ago, we had no sparrows, the U.S. sparrows. But now they have invaded the country. All it took was a few to be on a container, and they have populated Fiji with their presence. And here's what catches my attention. In a very far-flung country, like Fiji or even Kiribati. If you pick up one of those books, you'll read about an episode with Dan and I in the country of Kiribati on the main island of Tarawa. But even in those far-flung locations, you will find that if one little sparrow drops to the ground, the Heavenly Father makes note of it. That's a wow, isn't it? And that is our wow for today. The second illustration Jesus gives is that Jesus says, to you ladies. He must have been thinking about you ladies when he taught this. And he says, I know the number of hairs on your head. I've often thought about having to count one by one all the number of hairs on Mary's head. But you know what? The Lord says, I know. I know that I know that I really know the number of hairs on your head. If you and I will accept Jesus as the protos, the master, the ruler, the controller of our lives, we will have no fear. We'll have no fear. I would suppose that fear is probably the greatest hindrance to people doing anything in life. Have you ever been asked to do something that you have never done before? It scares you to death. I made the Lord a promise on the night that I was baptized into Christ that I would never say no to the Lord and the church. It is not because sometimes I do not feel uneasy, because sometimes I do if I have never done that before. Now, some of you are going to laugh and say, no, Robert, you've never been afraid of anything. I have too. But the Lord says, if you have the right attitude about me being the protos, the master, the ruler, the controller of your life, then you'll have no fear. I think in the church, fear is a great hindrance to our being workers in the kingdom of God. Do you think I'm right? I believe so. Whether it is leading a public prayer, whether it is going door knocking, that's hard to do in the Pacific since most houses don't have doors on them, more now than ever before. And so we just call on houses. But you know, maybe something like that makes you fear. I remember that one of our traffic controllers, our senior traffic controller in Fiji, is a member of the Lord's church. And he said, one time I asked him, John, why when we say we're going to go door knocking, you get as far away from us as you can? Because we are from the same Vanua, the same Yavusa, the same Matangali, not the same Tokatoka. We're from the same extended tribe. And I can ask him anything. I would not usually be that brave. But I said to John, why, John? Because he said, it scares me to death. I said, okay, today you're going to go with me. And he has become a great soul winner for Jesus. And he is brave. Do not think I will never face fear. And some of you that are young think you have nothing to be fearful of. Wrong. You wait till you get older and mama and daddy are no longer supporting you. Sometimes, Mary, I think we're still supporting half of them. Not only the children, but the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You know how that is, don't you, some of you? And that's okay, I love it. And I'm thankful we can be a part of it. But you know what? As you get older in age, I woke up in Fiji. No, I didn't wake up really till later. In the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning when I normally wake up. And I try to spend a lot of time in prayer and then after that, meditation on God's Word. But I had a dream that I could no longer see Brother Finley. And I was saying to Mary, "Mary, I can't see anymore." And then I said, "But I'm going to try something, just preaching without notes in my Bible." And she said, "You went for an hour and a half, and I didn't stop you throughout the whole dream. You're preaching for an hour and a half." David, I'm not going to do that today. But for about an hour and a half, Mary said, "Boy, I thought this is the longest sermon I've ever heard, and he's in his dream doing it." But I was preaching away with the word. That was a fear that I had. And what about you? Some of you that are older in age, maybe you have saved more than enough money for your retirement. Then give it to somebody that needs it. And that's not me necessarily. But as you get older, you wonder, where will I go? What will I do? And will someday my children or grandchildren have to lead me around because I cannot see so well? I cannot hear so well. And I'll be led around like a little baby again. That is a fear, isn't it? But Jesus said, and listen to him, verse 26, "So have no fear." Then he says, and do not fear. You know what I see in all of this? Number one, I see love. Am I right? Love will expel all fear, the love of knowing that Jesus loves us. Well, you all know the passage I'm going to go to. Go ahead and go there. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Wow. That's beautiful, isn't it? Don't ever fear, because God loves you so much. You know, many years ago, maybe it was about 49 years ago, I came in from a village late at night, and it was my custom in those days to stop by the fridge, get a big gallon jug of cold water, and down it in a few minutes. But I would always go to my favorite chair. In those days, it was a cloth bottom and a cloth back. And I would sit down and I'd enjoy it. And boy, I was looking forward to that. But I went to sit down and I felt something. And I looked around and it was our oldest daughter, Tanya. And I said, "Tanya Ann, what are you still doing?" She knew by the tone of my voice that I was a little bit frustrated. She had to go to kindy the next morning. And so she said, "I was waiting for you, Dad." And boy, my heart just melted. I mean, my heart just dropped down. And then I said, "Okay." And I put the jug down beside of me. And I took her in my lap. And I said, "Tanya, you know you have to go to kindy tomorrow morning." And she said, "Yes, but I was waiting for you." And I said, "Okay, I'm here." I gave her a hug, and I'm ready to send her off, I thought, to the bed down the hallway, and she didn't move after the hug. And I said, "Dad loves you. Now go to bed. Now go to bed." She didn't budge. She didn't move. I said, "I've got to change the wording. What am I going to do?" I said, "Dad loves you so much." And with those little tiny arms, she just hugged my neck so hard. I didn't want her to ever stop, never again. And she went those little feet down the hallway to her bed. I'm telling you, there's a lot in words. And God meant what he said. For God so loved the world. He didn't just love the world. If that's what he'd have said, he'd have wrote it in his book. Don't you ever forget that you have no fear, because God loves you so much. Number two, you don't need to ever have any fear because God knows. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Matthew 6 and verse 8. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows before you ever ask. Wow, I always loved to go to Dad because Dad was my buddy. He was my football buddy. He was just my buddy in life. Now, he always said what he meant what he said. And if we broke the rules, he said, you're not stupid or ignorant, and it's not 1, 2, 3. He says, you do what I say. And I understood that. My brother, my sister, and I understood it. But our daddy was always my friend and my buddy. And I always loved to go to Dad and say, Dad, I need something. He said, I knew you needed it. I loved you. He seemed like he'd always say it. He said, I knew you needed that. Isn't it wonderful that we've got a Heavenly Father that will already know before we, he already knows it before we ever ask him about it. You know, you and I should have no fear because our Heavenly Father knows. Don't you see when that little sparrow falls, he knows it. And he knows what we need before we ever ask. And then thirdly, and I love this one, he don't just know. You know, with my dad, I knew that he didn't just know, but he also cared. He always cared. I knew that he was our family protector. I knew that he was the one that I could go and talk to no matter what about. When I started dating, I would say to Dad, Dad, what about this girl? No, you don't marry her. He'd have to think very long because he knew everybody in town. Now, it's not Palm Beach Lakes, okay? This is Haleyville, Alabama, population 6,500. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody that came down the road would say, hey, Artie and Jeff, do y'all need anything? And they really meant it. And so everybody knew him. Dad seemed like knew everything. And I was so thankful to have a daddy like that. I could go to him. But not only because he already knew what I needed, but because he really cared. Man, I was really in love with this girl in the 10th grade. I thought I was. And he said, no, Robert, stop this right now. Don't date this girl anymore. But then I started dating Mary in the 11th grade. And he said, this is the girl you're going to marry, Robert. And I thought, boy, I got the smartest daddy in the whole world. You know, our Heavenly Father knows before you ask. Isn't that wonderful? Not frightening, but it is comforting to know. You know, in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, Peter says it this way, and I love some of the more modern translations. For Peter will say, just roll it off on the Lord. Oh boy, sometimes I couldn't solve a problem. And I thought, Brother David, I can't solve this problem. You know what I hadn't done? I hadn't prayed about it and rolled it off on the Lord. That's a problem. And I would not have spent so much energy and time and effort if I had just rolled it off on the Lord and left it. And how much happier I would have been. So we don't need to have any fear. We've got a Heavenly Father that loves us. We have a Heavenly Father that knows and a Heavenly Father that cares. We also have a Heavenly Father and His Son. What you can say about one, you can say about the other. Who goes with us? Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you. I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, the Lord had said that to Moses, right? Do you believe it? Yes, I believe it. I could see it through reading the Pentateuch that he was with Moses. And he reminded Joshua, because they're all about to grieve themselves sick. They're afraid, they are uneasy because Moses has died. Now, you and I take that lightly, don't we? I hope we don't. We take it lightly because we were not there and we don't have the full knowledge and understanding of who this man Moses was. Wow. What a man. What a man. Finally, God has enough of it. He said, you've been grieving long enough. Now, Israel, pick it up and move it, and Joshua's going to become the leader. I love it. God put up with something long enough. You know, he reminded Moses and Joshua that, Joshua, I will be with you, and I will go before you. That's our new theme at Forest Park there in Atlanta. For this coming year. You know, isn't that comforting to know that our Lord goes before us? That he goes with us and he goes before us. Here is a passage I want you to remember. Matthew 28 and verse 20. What did Jesus say? I'll be with you to the end of the age or the end of the world. You know, I never feel lonely. Once we had begun to carry the gospel to other island nations, like Niue, and the Cook Islands, and the Marshall Islands, and Kiribati. Boy, Kiribati, that's the end of the world nearly, Kiribati. Can be mentally if you're not careful. It's a jumping off place. But you know what? I never felt lonely in Kiribati. You know why? I knew that Jesus and the Father was with me. And many times as I would carry the gospel for the first time into these countries, I would have the Lord's Supper by myself, on my own. There's not another Christian in that country. Wouldn't you feel depressed and lonely? Wouldn't you feel downtrodden and lonely? But I never felt that way, brethren, because my Lord said, I'll be with you to the end of the world age. I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. What a marvelous day this is. If you will allow Jesus, from the time you were baptized until this present day, if you'll allow him to be your protos, your master, your ruler, and the controller of your life, that'll just cast out all fear. And you see it because the Heavenly Father and his Son, they love you. They know what you need before you ask. They care. And they go with you. Now, what more can I give you this morning? If you're not a Christian, you have never made that good confession, that's probably the most pivotal point in your life. I say that without hesitation. Because if you understand what you say, when I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're saying, I let him be my Lord, my protos, the master, the ruler, and the controller of my life. It means that you will cast out all fear. If you're subject to God's invitation this morning, I want to ask David to come and stand in the front rather than me. I'm not important. David is the one that's working with you, he and Dan. I want to ask David to come and stand in the front this morning. Give Jesus your heart, your life. and let Him be your master ruler and the controller of your life. While together we stand and sing.